Praise God.
How many guys are thankful for what the Lord did in your life last week? It was good, amen. Awesome. You got faith tonight? What you believe is what you're going to receive. I'm not just rhyming. But it's the truth. Is that the measure of faith that you have tonight is the measure of what you're going to receive and the transformation that's going to happen in your life. So you have faith tonight. Do you have faith tonight? Because you can be different. And I believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit tonight. I really believe that there is the anointing for healing tonight. So if you're expecting and believing that God is going to, or if you've been desiring that God would heal you in some way, spiritually, physically, I believe tonight is your night. So you got faith tonight. What are you committed to? Who are you committed to? Whose are you? Who do you belong to? Who you belong to is who you should be committed to. Right? You got to understand who He is. And then you got to commit. Never turn back, right? So if you really believe that, let's get deep tonight. Let's get into those deep waters tonight. Let's get our faith stirred up. Let's get ready to receive the Word. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Title of my message tonight is Go to the Furnace. You want to go to the furnace? How committed are you? How committed are you really? You want to go to the furnace? Let's do it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Sounds like a win-win, doesn't it? Let's pray. Come on, believe in faith with me tonight that you're going to be changed. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we invite your Spirit into this place, God. We invite your Spirit to just bring fresh revelation of your Word. God, that we would be transformed by your Spirit tonight. God, that you would just teach us about what it means to live for you, God, and what it means to die for you. Lord God, reveal to us, God, the commitment that it takes to live for you and to die for you. Holy Spirit, we invite you here right now. We just give you authority in our hearts. We give you authority in this place. Lord God, let every heart and every mind be focused on your Word and be focused on your Spirit, God, and that we would be good soil, that our hearts be ready to receive, God. Pour out your Spirit. Let healing happen tonight. We invite and we believe you for healing tonight. God, as we go to the furnace, as we never turn back, God, as we become committed to you, God, that your healing waters would come tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. To live is what? To die is what? What does that mean? I want you to really think about this. What does that mean? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Man, if you live today and not just live for yourself, Paul's not talking about us just living for ourselves, is he? Paul said that I am crucified with Christ, and so I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. What is crucifixion? I mean, seriously. Oh, I just crucified with Christ today. Just this little thing happened to me. It's kind of fun. I mean, what is crucifixion? Is crucifixion life? No. No, it's death. To live is Christ. To be crucified with Christ is to live. So to die is to live? To die is to live? And then to die is to gain. Man, I'm telling you, being a Christian, there's no way to lose. If you're willing to die, you gotta really want to die. You gotta be committed to die. How many of you are excited you got saved? You gave your heart to Jesus. You're like, oh, but to live is Christ. To die is gain. When you live for Christ and die to yourself, you crucify to yourself. Man, God's blessing and His favor is on you. Everything that Christ took hold of when He was resurrected is available to you today because you're willing to die. Die to yourself. Allow Christ to live. Go to the furnace. When you go to the furnace, do you live? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. We're going to find out how committed you really are. You committed to die? No matter how it works out, are you committed to die? Die in this life or just die for what you're committed to? Daniel chapter 3. Little story here about Rakshak and Benny. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those VeggieTale lovers out there. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other providential officers to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It's provincial, isn't it? Provincial. I like that word. And they stood before it. He set it up and they stood before it. Then a herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nation, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sounds of the horn, the flute, the zither, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship it will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, they, all the peoples and the nations and men of every language, fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Brown nosers. Verse 10. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music should fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship your image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do Do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? What God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace and God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and all their other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing fire. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw to this fire? They replied, Certainly, O king, we counted right. We can't count past 3, but we got to 3 and we threw them in. He said, Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out! Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a hair on their heads singed, for their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent the angel to rescue his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and gave up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that any people of the nations or languages who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces, and their houses are to be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know, we live in an interesting day and an interesting culture, like no other culture that has ever been, compiled of nearly every nation of the world, and the histories of all those nations live inside of our nation. They call us the melting pot. It's part of what our country was founded on, that we could be free. First Amendment, that there would be no government would make no law concerning religious establishments on how we could worship. That alone, guys, has allowed us to just cultivate or bring in nations upon nations and all of their history with them. A lot of people say that we almost don't even have an identity because it's so conglomerated with all these other cultures and nations. You and I, like no other generation, especially you, even more so than me, have been raised in the information highway. I mean, you guys have been raised with more information now than anybody in that has ever existed has ever been privy to. You've been exposed to worlds and nations and of all their not only idolatry and pagan ideas and philosophies and just jacked up, messed up ways, man. I'm telling you, their ideas and thoughts, they're available to you like no other generation has ever been. The things that you can look at and see and experience is so radically different than anything else that's ever happened throughout all the generations, guys. 6,000 years. You can get on your computer and the whole world is at your fingertips. Nearly all the information of the world is at your fingertips. You can Google anything. I mean, think about going back 20 years and talk about Googling. People think you're a Martian or some freak. Google what? You're telling me you could get on your computer and talk to people across the world and learn about who they are and their culture and their nations? You don't even have to just talk to them. I'm telling you, you can just put on a little eyeball thingy above your computer and you can see them. You can fall in love with them digitally. Thousands of marriages are happening today over the internet, on computers. We don't even meet each other anymore. I mean, seriously, you could turn 18 and find yourself a wife from another country and order her. If you had enough money, you could buy her and have her shipped to you. I'm not even kidding. I'm not, I mean, it sounds funny, but it's real. You can do it. You don't even have to have, you don't have to buy one that's real. You can just pay for one and you can pretend like she's really your wife. And should this be a little digital thing that talks to you on your screen? It's kind of sick. We've grown up not only playing, your generation has grown up and mine too has grown up just playing video games. Your generation has grown up living your lives through them. My generation, dude, we just had Pong. Dude, I mean, it was fun, but I mean, I wasn't living my life through Pong and asteroids. Pac-Man. Right? Dude, you just don't live your life through Mrs. Pac-Man. But when you get into Halo Online and you're just hooked up with all your buddies, all of a sudden, you don't need to leave your house, man. You switch your Xbox over and order all your groceries and they just show up to your house, man. Oh yeah, the PS3 can only do that one. Sorry. Grocery online. What is this madness? Order your wife, order your groceries, have her cook them. Play your Xbox. You could do it if you wanted. Of course, you might not stay long enough once she becomes an American citizen. Keep making her cook all your groceries and playing Xbox all day. But listen, as we subject ourselves to all of the things of the culture that we live in, now, we might not have a king that sets up a golden image for us. But we have a culture that has freedom to set up golden images for us. Our freedom is where the power is. See, in the old times, whoever wielded the sword, whoever had the power, that's what was right. You go against it. You go against Nebuchadnezzar. He had the sword. He had the power. Dude, I mean, they go against him. What does he do? He's like, dude, I'm stoking the furnace for you. jump on in. Or you can just do what I say. So what do you think most people did? There wasn't a whole lot of other cases that are recorded here that were standing. There was a lot of other Jews there, I'm telling you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were not the only ones. Where were they? Who did their knees bow to? Listen, they could have come up with all kinds of excuses of why not to worship that idol. I mean, seriously. You know what? They could have just been like, hey, I'm just going to fall down, but I'm not going to worship it. I'm just going to pretend like I'm worshiping it. But I'm not really going to do it. I mean, I wouldn't really do it. And you know what? Maybe I'll just worship it one time. And then I'm not going to become an idol worshiper. I mean, geez. I'll just do it once. Just once. That's all. Just once. That'll be okay. Just once. You know what, man? The king, he just bears that sword. How can I go against him? I mean, he's the authority God put here. I should obey him, right? Because he's the authority. You know, it's what's right because everybody else is doing it. Right? You know, I mean, our ancestors set up idols in the temple of God. I mean, that was way worse than what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it once. I mean, what they did was so much worse than what I'm going to do. I'm just going to kind of pretend like I need. I'm just going to kind of do that, but I'm gonna worship my God when I bend down. What kind of excuses do you make when you bow your knee to the idols of today? When you compromise what God has called you to so you can fit in to our culture today? Oh, you know, man, I'm just gonna look at that thing on my computer one time. Because all my buddies are here, you know, and I mean, they really want to see it. And so I don't want them to think that I'm judging them. You know, I mean, Bible says don't judge or you'll be judged. All my buddies, you know, they're just cussing out my teacher right next to me in the hallway. And they're just slandering and gossiping about him. And they're disrespecting his authority and they're dishonoring him. So I'm just going to stand there and just listen. I won't say anything. Just pretend like, you know, I'm neutral. Yeah. You know, I won't say anything, but, you know, I just won't say anything. You know, I don't want to offend anybody. Oh, all my friends are going out to see that movie. Or, you know, man, I just stumbled into this really bad movie at my friend's house. I didn't know what movie they were going to watch. I mean, how was I going to know? And they just turned it on and, oh, ooh, everybody's naked. I'll just look once, Lord. Just once. I promise God, I'll repent for it afterwards. Right? Oh, Saw. Everybody watches Saw. I mean, that movie, that's fine. You know, and let's cap it off with some scary movie. Some American Pie and they're fine. They say they're rated for all ages. They're good for everyone. I mean, it's just a little bit of blood and gore and, you know, casting a little fear in my life. So what? You know, I mean, I'll just, you know, what, you know, this other guy, I mean, they're watching rated X movies. I mean, me watching this one, I mean, it's not that. They did way worse. There's people doing way worse things than what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not going to hurt anybody by doing it. I'm not going to hurt anybody. Look, come on. You and I can make every excuse we want. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a huge list of the same excuses of why they could have kneeled and bowed down to the image that the king had set up. That their pagan world had set up for them. Your pagan world has set up an image for you to worship. Are you going to continue to make excuses about why it's okay and why we're justified as a generation to bow our knee to it? Oh, because my mom and dad, they didn't quite love me enough. They didn't comb my hair when I was a baby. I never got a pacifier. I want my Pezzy. And you know, they're mean to me and everybody hates me. They eat worms all the time. You know, I mean, geez, how could you ever expect that I could live holy, Lord? Come on. Did you see what hand I got dealt? I mean, did you see it? It wasn't good. I mean, I know I still have a microwave and a bed to sleep in. And, you know, I mean, there aren't, you know, Muslims coming by and trying to chop my head off and my hands off if I don't convert to Muslim, well, you know, to Islam. But, I mean, my life was hard. Neighbor kid throwing rocks at me. Telling me I had a screwy eye. Who are you looking at, man? You looking at me? Someone throw a rock at you, dude, if you keep looking at me that way. My God. How'd they do anything? Yeah, it stinks when your feet are so big you can't hardly run. Yeah, it's scary when people say they're going to start throwing rocks at you. Because you're looking at them weird. You can't help it because you only got one good eye. Can't control where the other one's looking. I mean, seriously. We can make up excuses all day long. Or we can go to the furnace. Or you can be committed. Man. Or you can be committed to something that's bigger than you. Something that's bigger than this culture. Something that's more powerful than this world. That's in your God. Who is He? Who is He? Do you really believe that He is who He says He is? And then whether you live for Christ and He comes in into that furnace and He shows up and rescues you, or whether or not you go in there and you burn and die, to live is Christ, to die is gain, if you're committed. Listen, if you're committed, you cannot lose. If you compromise, you lose it all. I want you to think about if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have compromised. If they would have just done one of those excuses, just fallen to one of those excuses, just bowed their knee and just, oh, well, nobody will really know. And I'll repent and just make it right. God's glory would never have been made known. The legacy of what they did, the seed of what they planted, of faith, would never have been made known. God's glory would have never shown. Not in that instance, because they would have compromised. Oh yeah, maybe they would have eked into heaven. Probably not in those days. Because you know what happens is one cultural compromise leads to another. Because purity starts with what? Seeds. Starts in little seeds. You compromise a little bit. All of a sudden everybody sees that. And then they expect it from you. You know what others expect from us? A lot of times is what takes place in our life. Unless we're committed. You committed to go to the furnace today? You committed to stand in the face of the world system and say no. No, I don't care. I don't care if I am crucified or put to death. My social life is put to death. I'm not accepted, or you get furious with me. I don't care. To live for God, to be committed to God is Christ. I'll experience Christ in my life. Yeah, that's worth it. And if I got to go to the furnace for it, tell you what, God's either going to show up or I'm going to be with Him. Either way, I win. You know what? Just like here in this story, when these three men stand for the Lord, There's always somebody that wants to expose you. These astrologers come out of nowhere, right? And they go right up to the king. Oh, king! Rubbing their nose in there, right? Oh, guess what? I see these three guys. Those children of God. Right? Man, you're going to stand for something? I'm telling you what. If you're going to stand for it, someone's going to rise up. And they're going to accuse you. It's going to happen. And they're going to invoke either a crowd of people to persecute you, or they're going to invoke the king, whoever the authority person is over your life, and they're going to come down on you. It's going to happen. Many of you probably had this happen in your schools, or you're afraid of that happening in your schools, so you haven't been committed. You've compromised. And God's glory was not made known. Oh, you might be going to heaven. Maybe. Oh, Lord, Lord, didn't we in your name, didn't we do this and that in your name? But depart from me. I never knew you. How do you know somebody? You don't just know them because you just read about them in some fairy book. Is the Bible a fairy tale to you? Or is it the living, breathing Word of God, which is Jesus Christ? And as you spend time with it, you begin to meditate on it. You become intimate with Jesus and know Him. You don't know people you're not committed to. You just don't. You might know about them. You might see them and know, oh, he wears cool bomber glasses all the time. That's sweet. Jesus is big and powerful. And he saves people. But do you know him? If you're committed to him, you know him. Jesus said that if you love me, you will obey. You will be committed to my commandments. You'll be committed to my commandments. Not just know about him and say, oh, those are good. I learned those in Sunday school. Yeah, but I'm going to go bow my knee to the idol. Yay! It's going to do whatever my culture says, and it's just easier that way. Jesus would want me to be nice to people, so I'm just going to make them all feel good when they're around me. I'm just going to bow my knee to this, and I'm going to go bow it to Buddha, and then I'm going to go, oh, some really whatever, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to repent, and no one will know, and oh, it's so good to be a Christian. So easy. My life is so much funner and gooder and greater and emptier and lost and broken, convicted, consumed, guilty, shameful, fearful, broken. That's who we are when we bow our knee to our culture. We bow our knee to our world. We're just broke. And I'll tell you what, the king's rage will be furious. The culture's rage at you, toward you, will be furious. And he'll summon you unto him. If you're going to stand for the Lord. If you're going to stand for his commands. It's going to rage around you. And you know what else? He's going to order his strongest servants to come and bind you up and throw you in. It's amazing the things people will do to try to bring down a believer, to try to get you to compromise, to get you to bow your knee. Come on, here, I'm going to set it up one more time. I'm going to get those flutes and those lyres and those zithers and all those musical pipes and all that good stuff, and we're going to bang on it, and you're going to bow. Oh, man, dude, I can't wait to get together, and we're going to get him to finally smoke some weed. Yeah, we're going to get together. We're going to finally get that Christian. We're going to get Christian Chris to just bow his knee to our drugs. Have you guys ever heard people talk like this? Have you ever been the person that did this to someone?
Come on, it happens all the time. And we're trying to get people to compromise all the time because it makes us feel better about ourselves. When everybody else is doing what we're doing and we lower the bar so low in our Christianity that we just call everybody a disciple. Yeah, he's a disciple. He goes to church. He has a tie. He has to love Jesus. He has a tie. It's got a cross on it. Seriously, he has a Bible. It's big. Have you seen how big it is? There's no way he's not a believer. Come on. You know, there's a time to be silent. There's a time to have wisdom and to listen. But you know, turn your Bibles to Psalms 39. And you know, here, and I'm going to read this in Daniel. And it says after he tries to get them to bow their knee, so you're going to Psalms 39, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. This is the prime authority of the world, right? O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know. We will not serve your gods or worship your image that you have set up. Man, come on. They spoke up. There's a time when it's not the time for you to sit silent around your buddies and let them just talk crude and rude, especially if they're Christians, and bow their knees to this culture. No, it is not the time. Psalm 39, David says this in verse 1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle around my mouth or on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. As long as the wicked are in my presence, I will keep my mouth shut and I'll keep it from sin. But when I was silent, and I was still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. And let me know how fleeting is my life, that you may made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who he will get. Who will get it? But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Now listen. Too many times do we stand aside and we do not declare that we are believers. Not only do we bow our knee to the idols, we disallow people to talk about whatever they want, whatever the culture wants to talk about, whatever the image is of the time, we just let it be said, we let it be done, we let it happen. Stand aside why, you know, people get murdered or hurt or slandered and gossiped. Your friends, your teachers that you respect, your pastor, your leaders. Oh, because we don't want to offend somebody. Because the worst sin of our culture today, the power of our culture today is do not offend. Oh. Well, you just have to accept everybody. Because, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? To accept everybody for everything they do and just let anything happen because Jesus is a nice guy? Wait a second. There comes a time, and this needs to happen more often than not, that you don't stand in self-righteousness. You stand in something that you have a platform for. Come on. If you've been purified, transformed, and you're not bowing your knee to that idol, then you need to stand firm. And you need to declare, look, you guys need to shut up. You are slandering and gossiping someone who is in the seat of honor. That's my dad. That's my teacher. That's my pastor. That's my leader. That's my friend that you're talking about. No, this is wrong. Not just, oh, don't do this around me. Please don't swear around me. No, look, this is wrong before God. They don't know his standard. You need to let them know his standard. Say, look, gossip is sin. It's missing God's mark. Right in front of them in your school, guys, I'm telling you, go to the furnace. There's no king over you going to chop your head off. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to happen different. You got to stand in your schools. You got to stand against your professors in their classes. They start blaspheming your God in front of you. Are you just going to let them blaspheme God and not give anything in response? No. Look, if he's going to blaspheme the God, your God, openly in a free country, you better be ready to go to the furnace. Come on. We're a peculiar people. We are not the same. We're not called to be the same. We're not called to bow our knee to these idols. The idols of our culture. You're called to be different. You've got to make sure you got a platform or you're walking in self-righteousness. You got to make sure your motives are pure and that you're doing this to defend the Lord, to do what is honorable, what is right. Man, if you hear other guys doing locker room talk about other girls, you need to, as a believer, as a man, you need to stand up and say, look, no, this is not happening. This is wrong. And I'll tell you what, you're going to the furnace. You might crucify your social life, but is it worth it? Do you believe your God is who he says he is? Because if he is, if you really do believe and he is the God, then guess what? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on. Even if he throws me into that fire, even if you throw me in, he's going to rescue me. And if he doesn't rescue me, guess what? I'm going to go be with him. I still win. Augustine said this. He was a church founder many, many, many years ago. He said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You want to see a revolution in your day? You want to see God move through your life? You got to be ready. You got to be willing. You got to go to the furnace. You got to go to the furnace. What do we see is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to get tossed into the furnace. The things the enemy is trying to bind them up with sends his two strongest men. Look, if you're going to stand for God, the enemy's going to send strong men to come try to bind you up. To bind you up in fear, in doubt, in unbelief that your God is going to deliver you. What happens to these guys when they try to throw them in the furnace? They try to throw him in the furnace. It says in 2, the king commanded, the command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It just burned them up. Listen, the Bible says that you submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Luke 17:33, right? Submit to God. No, that's the wrong one. Submit to God. It's Matthew 10:32. No, that's not the right one either. Dagnabbit. It's in there somewhere. Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? You submit to God's commands? You stand for his command? You have no other gods before me. Is the culture of God before you? Are you willing to go to the furnace? What are you really committed to? Matthew 10:32 says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Wow. You're going to stand in the face of our culture for God's word, for his commands? Or are you just going to allow our culture to just push you around and never see the glory of God, the testimony of God's power be made known? If you don't ever stand for it, you'll never see it. You can pray for it all day long, but at some point, you've got to live it and you've got to stand for it. And you have to stand up and acknowledge our God in heaven before men. Not just in your room, in your closet. No, you seek him in your room, in your closet. You get to know him in your room, in your closet. And you're committed to him there. But then you take that commitment and you live it and you acknowledge him before men. And that is how you will see the glory of God, the power of God, the testimony of God be made known. Are you willing to do it? Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you submit your life? Will you stand? Will you stand with him? Even if he throws you in the furnace. Now we see in this passage and we see the miracle that God does. It's true, man. You get thrown in the furnace, there he is also. Jesus shows up on the scene, or an angel that represents the Lord shows up on the scene, and all of the things that were the enemy was trying to bind them up with just burn off, including the strong men that were trying to grab onto them and make them submit, make them bow down. The enemy will bring tremendous fear and doubt and unbelief in your life to try to get you to bow your knee to the world. But man, you stay committed. You stay committed. Even if there is a higher authority over you, even if our nation tells you, or your pastor tells you, or your parents tell you to bow your knee to the world and to do something immoral, no. Yes, you honor authority. Yes, you honor your parents. But if they try to tell you to do something that is ungodly and sinful and wrong, no. No. You stand. You stand committed. You go to the furnace. You don't bow your knee. Because there is a higher authority that you will give account for. You're not going to give account when you die to your parents. You're not going to give account when you die to me. You're not going to give account to our president or to a king. But you will give account to the Lord. Are you sure you want to bow your knee? Are you sure you want to do it? Or do you want to go into the furnace and you want to see the glory of God? Do you want to have all those fears and those doubts and those issues burn away? You got to go to the furnace. You got to be willing to be committed. You can no longer compromise. You know what it says when he says, hey, come out. Come on out, guys. Come on. Dude, your God is God. Holy cow. Woo! That was awesome. He's like, dude, I threw you in, man. You didn't burn. Wow. First he's all like, I'm going to kill you. And he throws him in. He's like, yeah, that was awesome. Let's do it again. Who else wants to do that? He grabs him and he goes, did you see that? Your God, you defied me. And your God delivered you. Dude, that was sweet. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. I wish there was more of you guys. That was fun. It's like, dude, you defied me. Your God, whoa. Dude, nobody else is ever going to say anything against your God. If they do, dude, I'm chopping them up in little pieces. Because that's fun too. Come on. Are you committed? Look, man, and he says they came out, and the magistrates and all the dudes are all down. They're smelling him like, checking out their clothes. And you guys don't even have a singe on you. The only thing that burned up was the things we bound you with. Dude, it's awesome. You don't even smell like you've been puffing on cigs, man. So awesome. You were in the fire. 7 times hotter than we ever did it, dude. We didn't even know we could get it that hot, man. It's awesome. Yeah, dude, you can't. 2 of my guards just got toasted, dude. You don't even smell like smoke. Listen. You can go to the furnace. You can go to the furnace. And you can come out not even smelling like smoke. Not even the tiniest bit of the after effects of what the enemy tries to put on you, tried to bind you up with. No. All that's going to burn away. And everything that the enemy meant for evil will be turned to good. You won't even smell like smoke. You'll come right through that fire like you never were in it. Now tell me this. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith was fortified after that? You think they would ever, ever be shaken in their faith in what God could do? I mean, they already had the courage to stand and go to the furnace, stand in front of the king and say, dude, no, not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent, not at this juncture. You guys are too young for that madness. No way. You guys smell good. Smell good. You committed. You want to smell good? You want to smell good? You want your life to be a sweet, fragrant offering to the Lord? You want to smell good? You got to go to the furnace. Allow it to burn away. All that compromise. Allow it to burn away. All those things that you've been bowing to. All that culture and all that stuff you've been bowing your knee to. You're going to come through, not even smelling like smoke. Come on, stand with me. Let's pray. Gabby, will you come? Now, listen, I know that a lot of you need to go somewhere, but that's okay. You can go. But if you want a deeper measure of faith, you want to repent, you want to get right, you want to get committed, you want to go to the furnace. You're ready to take a stand in your school. Take a stand in your home. Take a stand in your college. Take a stand with your peers and your friends that call themselves Christians. It's a nicer night. We can do it right now. You can be committed. You can go to the furnace. Come on, you got to get your hearts ready. You got to get your lives ready to receive from the Lord. I want to pray over you. And then if you need to go, you can go. But if you want to take a stand, you want to be committed to the Lord, and you're tired of compromise, and you're ready for the faith to go to the furnace, then I'm going to pray over you. And God's going to heal those broken things in your life. See, there's some repenting that needs to happen, and there's some healing that needs to happen in your life. And some of your physical healings are going to come through this repentance and through this commitment. Everything comes with a cost. You're a believer. It isn't free. God's grace is free for a cost. It costs you your whole life. It costs you everything. You have to trade it. You got to trade it all for Him. You got to give it all to Him. And that's when His grace comes. That's when faith comes and fills your heart. and takes away that fear and replaces that fear with faith, replaces that shame and that guilt and that doubt and that unbelief with faith, with love. You got to be committed. Christians don't go to heaven because they compromise. They go to heaven because they're committed. They don't go to heaven because they compromise. You don't see good things in your life because you compromise. Because when you bow your knee to idols, you don't see good things. You see them when you commit. When you commit to honor your parents. When you commit to submit to them. When you commit to turn your heart to them. When you commit to turn your heart to your God. And to His law and His commandment. And you say, God, I'm going to love You by obeying Your commands. And I'm not going to bow my knee to those idols anymore. I'm going to be committed. Come on. It's by faith and by grace so that no man can boast. You don't work for it. You surrender for it. Come on. You surrender for it. You die for it. See, when you die, right? It's gain. If you live for Christ, it means you die, you are crucified with Him, and that's how you live. It all comes to death. So, let's do it. Let's die tonight. You want to die to submitting to this pagan world and to pagan ideas and adulterous ideas and bowing your knee to idols that our culture has set up. Right now is your time. Just come forward right now and let's worship. I'm going to pray for you. Come on, come to the front. It's time for a change. You're a generation that's special. You're not normal. You're freaks. You're committed. God didn't call you to be compromisers. He calls you to be committed. Now, if you just want to receive from the Lord, I just encourage you to raise your hands in faith and surrender. In faith and surrender. You don't raise your hands because you feel it. You raise your hands because you're surrendered. Because you want to be committed. Because you want to go to the furnace. Do you want to go to the furnace? Come on, do you want to be committed? Do you want to see the glory of God fall? You got to surrender your heart. So right now, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of His blood, I speak surrender over you. I speak commitment over you. You will be a generation like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A generation that is willing to go to the furnace for the name of the Lord. I speak commitment over you in Jesus' name. Commitment over you in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're really serious, I want you to pray this with me. We're going to repent for compromise. You want to repent for compromise? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I repent for compromise. For fear. For doubt, for unbelief in who You are. Forgive me, God. I purpose and choose to forgive myself for this sin. I am forgiven by Your blood that washes away all sin. Lord Jesus, by the power of Your blood, I cancel all of Satan's power and authority over me concerning fear, doubt, unbelief, and compromise. Cancel all of his debts and obligations to me in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and heal my heart. Heal my broken heart. Fill it with faith. Fill it with love. Fill it with belief in You. Fill it with commitment. Grow my character. Be the rock in my life. You are God. You are good. You are my God. You are holy. And you are worthy of my life. And I will go to the furnace for you. Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Transform my life. Teach me your truth. Speak to me, God. Let me stand for you in this generation. Thank you, God. Begin to worship Him. Come on. Begin to praise His name. Come on, take your life to a deeper commitment right now. Take your life into deeper waters. Push yourself out into deeper waters. Set down your net. Come on, believe Him for a harvest. Set down your net and believe Him for a harvest. Believe Him for your families, for your friends. Believe Him for souls. Come on, believe Him for 1,000 souls with me. Come on, believe Him. Jesus, you are Lord. Draw in your people, God. Let me be a light for them. Let me be a light for you. I am committed. I am submitted to you. Holy God. Holy God. You are worthy. Come on, pour out your heart to Him. Whether you sing the words or not, you need to pour out your heart to Him. You need to thank Him. You need to commit your life to Him. You need to surrender more sin. You need to repent for more sin. You need to change your life. Today's a day. Tonight's your night. Don't wait for another night. Don't compromise another moment. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender it all. You are good, Lord.